its current state here on 90.5 WKAR. For many months, Michigan legislators have battled over education. Often it's been over the Common Core, new curriculum standards that Michigan and more than 40 other states will adopt soon. The ongoing dispute has taken a number of turns in the past week or so. For one, the Republican majority legislature made millions in school funding contingent on continuing the Michigan Education Assessment Program, or MEEP, tests for K through 12 students. The Michigan Department of Education had been planning for several years to drop it and move to the web-friendly, smarter balanced assessment. Then on Wednesday, fed-up GOP Representative Bob Janetsky filed a measure that would transfer oversight of student assessments in Michigan from the State Department of Education to the Treasury Department. He and other Republicans say they've been frustrated by claims from the Education Department that there isn't time to revise the MEEP test for next school year. To get his take on these and other developments, we turn to the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, Republican Phil Pavlo. Senator, welcome back to Current State.
Hey, it's good to be with you this morning, Mark.
Before I ask you what you make of Representative Janetsky's proposal, clarify for us where you stand regarding the Smarter Balanced Assessment and the MEEP test.
Well, listening to your opening comments, it's very clear the legislature is very interested in this topic. And the legislature gets interested when parents and teachers reach out to us with their concerns. And what we're hearing from the people in the field that are going to be required to administer this test, the parents whose children are going to be tested under this curriculum, they have concerns. And so all we're asking for is a fair and open, honest conversation about what assessments should look like in Michigan. And there has been a back and forth with the department in terms of, should the legislature weigh in on this? And, I represent 275,000 people in the thumb, and they have concerns. So I think it's fair that we just ask the right questions and get the answers to something that a testing system that could be around for 20 years or longer. We just want to get it right, and that's where the legislature is on this issue.
Describe for us in a little more detail, if you could, the concerns that you're hearing about. What concerns these families and these parents?
Well, let's start with the teachers because, we've asked for a lot of accountability from our teachers, and we'll gather that accountability partly through some of the testing that our students are going to be required to take. And so if we don't have a very solid and dependable, reliable test, then we're going to be actually asking our teachers to be accountable to something that could potentially have some challenges and some complications to it. We're also going to be asking our students under this smarter, balanced assessment that the department has chosen to take an expanded amount of time in testing, and we know how students react to stressful conditions. The testing periods seem to be at least twice as long in some cases. And are we really putting all of the focus on testing at the cost of instruction? And these are just questions that come up. You hear parents all the time, my son or daughter is so stressed out coming into this new testing period. So all we want to do is get something that works that the teachers can accept, the parents can accept, the students can accept, but at the bottom line, we need to know if the local curriculums are working, and that's why the test is so important, why we're having the conversation.
Representative Tom McMillan, who is a vocal critic of the move to the Smarter Balanced Assessment, says he's tired of what he calls the can't-do attitude from the Department of Education on this. Yet Superintendent Mike Flanagan has compared relaunching the MEEP to making a pig fly. Do you think the Department of Education could realistically relaunch the MEEP test?
I don't think there's any question in my mind that they can and that the legislature is going to require that they do. And here's why, Mark. You're looking at states across the country that are fleeing from the Common Core. They are so intent on getting their own state control of their public education system. South Carolina just last week, they decided to pull out of their testing system, and they're required to have a new one up by the spring of 2015. This is something that I think can be done. And I'm very happy to work with Superintendent Flanagan and his team over there at the department to get the resolution we need to it. It's an important next step in our state's education system. So let's get it right.
Let's clarify. Let's back up just a little bit and clarify one key point regarding the Common Core curriculum. These are indeed standards that were arrived at nationally. But doesn't the Common Core allow for local control of the actual curriculum?
It does. So sometimes we confuse terms, and when you call the Common Core curriculum, it's the Common Core state standards.
Very good.
So
yes, you're correct. Exactly right.
Yeah, so the standards are like a yardstick. It's a measurement. And this is what, you know, you should be expected to know in math and in language and in science and so that's the yardstick. I think one of the important things, we have 552 local school districts in Michigan, and they're the deciding factor on the curriculum. And so you bring up a very good point. You know, parents are becoming more and more engaged at the local level, and that's really where education should be delivered. So we want to drive them to our school board meetings and have a better understanding of what their children are being taught. And I think the more people know, the more transparency, I think the better system that you get. So we're just interested in more involvement. And yes, you're right, it's a standard, not a curriculum. But let's hold the accountability factor in place, too, so that we get it right. We can't decide from the state level a top-down education policy. What we can do, though, is make sure that we have an assessment tool in place that can accurately, effectively, and in a time-sensitive manner help us understand what our kids are learning and what they might need help on so we can make adjustments to improve their outcomes. And this is all about the children's and the students' outcomes in our education system.
Representative Janeski says he thinks the legislature's been stonewalled by the Department of Education. That was his word. When he has tried to get information on test options, has that been your experience? I mean, would you describe it in those terms as far as your experience?
I probably wouldn't use stonewall, but I would say that the free flow of information to the legislature has been less than stellar. Look, this requires trust. It requires relationships, and it requires some input. And I think what I hope the department figures out through these exercises we're working on right now is that when our constituents, I just had office hours this morning at Lakeport Grill up in Lakeport, Michigan, people come here, they come here to see their local elected officials and they want to address their questions and concerns about government to us. There's no one calling the State Department of Education to a bureaucrat somewhere on the seventh floor of a building somewhere. They're talking to us. I think it's good government when your legislators are out in public hearing what's happening and being able to take that conversation to Lansing and have a respectful dialogue. And this is just the flow of information. This is what's on people's minds right now.
We're talking with Republican State Senator Phil Pavlo of St. Clair County. Phil is the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, and we're talking about all of the various developments here regarding education in Michigan at the state capitol here the last few weeks. Let's look a little bit more closely at Representative Janetsky's proposal. He and others are wondering aloud if they're getting a different set of answers from the if they would be getting different answers from the Treasury Department than they're getting from the Department of Education. We'll point out that the Treasury is overseen by the administration, and the Department of Education and the state superintendent are overseen by the State Board of Education. Do you think state assessments would be better managed by the Treasury Department?
I think it would be, and I co-sponsored the Senate version of that bill. Senator Caswell from the Hillsdale area in Michigan introduced the very same language yesterday, and I co-sponsored and I support that. I think that timely information and the decision process could be improved. And I think that you would get that from an oversight out of the governor's office. And, so we'll have hearings on it. We might have a hearing as early as next week where we'll get input on it. But I think the reality is that, look, education is the cornerstone for Michigan's economy, for Michigan's quality of life. And if we're struggling for sometimes years at a time on some of these issues, I don't think it serves the students well. You know, they're wrapping up their school year this year. They're thinking about their summer breaks, yet the adults in the system seem to be kind of locked in this battle of control. It shouldn't be a battle of control. It should be a battle of information in a timely way that can be reacted to, that has transparency, that can be communicated back to our districts. And I think by pausing the implementation of a very big system, it just makes sense. In your earlier comments, you talked about a web-based, technology-driven system. I am a strong advocate for technology in our education system, but what we have seen by some of these, some of the computer systems that have been piloted, we're seeing problems in the execution. So the legislature is right to voice their concerns, as it relates to new technology, too. So.
The education, to get back to the MEEP and smarter balance debate, though, the education department's apparently been planning for years to drop the MEEP test. Can you help our listeners understand this particular disconnect between the legislature and the Department of Education? How did this disconnect unfold?
Well, you saw transitions in education policy when we're driving for more accountability and higher standards and testing. And so the Common Core state standards have been being developed in Michigan since 2010. They've been implemented in our classrooms. We now are to the point where we have to start measuring the outcomes of the Common Core state standards. And I think what happened is that the department just has been going down this path of, they chose a smarter balance system. It's been developed. It still isn't done today. There hasn't even been peer review yet on this test. But what's happening in a parallel track is that other testing options and methods and models are coming onto the market as well. And so we now have a marketplace for testing. And we don't want to get, kind of committed into one unless we know. In the end of the day, if through the RFP process and the evaluation of all of the test systems out there, Smarter Balance proves to shine head and shoulders above any other assessment out there, I'm fine with that. We're asking for is let's take a little bit of time, keep what we have, adjust it to the new standards, and use this period of time in a constructive way to look at what other options are out there. And in the end, if the department, and it's proven out that the Smarter Balance is what's best for Michigan kids, I'm there with them.
Where exactly, Senator Pavlo, is the discussion on the expansion of the Education Achievement Authority right now? And what's your position on the EAA expansion?
Well, I've been a supporter of the EAA since Governor Snyder introduced this idea because, the unfortunate reality is we have some very poor performing schools in our state that need an additional level of support. And so, out of over 4,000 school buildings, we rank them from top to bottom in the state, and we're required to do something different for the schools that are in the bottom 5%. And just think about it for a minute. If you're dropping your son or daughter or granddaughter off to a school that is one of those very worst schools in the state of Michigan, what kind of future do you think that those kids have in a system that, in a school building that had been failing their students for sometimes a complete generation? And so it's difficult dealing with the poor performing schools and it's hard to turn them around. But we have an obligation to make an effort, and that's what the EAA has been all about. That's been the center of the mission, and it's been to deliver a different kind of education to kids that absolutely deserve something better than what they were getting a few years ago.
Help me understand one thing, though, Senator. I mean, you've said that the teacher evaluations and the standardized tests, you know, we need to know that those are working and that you want to get to something that works. But regarding the EAA, what have you seen during the EAA's last couple of years that gives you confidence that we know it works well enough to expand it statewide? Why not wait for more data there as well?
Right. Well, it's already statewide, Mark. It's for all schools in the bottom 5%. It just happens to be that it was launched in the DPS system. So this is taking into consideration schools all across the state. And when we talk about schools that aren't making the grade, we're not just talking about urban schools. There are rural and suburban schools also that have challenges for any number of reasons.
But why the urgency on moving on some set of reforms and on the EAA reforms and the delays on the other? Can you help us understand that?
Well, I mean, the idea of a teacher assessment tool has been relatively new. This is a conversation that's just been taking place in the last 2 or 3 years.
But and isn't again, the EAA relatively new as well?
Oh, the EAA is absolutely new. And what you can point back to is, number one, that the schools that are in the EAA have a very long proven track record of failing students. What we can point to now after a year and a half of, or coming up to our second full year, is we're starting to see some encouraging growth model, some growth measurements that we're starting to see students get more than a year worth of growth in a year worth of instruction. But remember, we're talking about moving into a school building where there hasn't been a history of good, solid, strong education. So
yeah, there's a lot of problems there too.
Sure,
clearly.
Sure, and that's why this is such a difficult assignment. It's a little bit easier to manage a very well funded and high performing school. Those are a different set of circumstances. What we're talking about is, you know, school buildings that have been failing students for any number of reasons, and going in and turning it around. And I think it's proven to be, we knew going in it was going to be a difficult assignment, but that doesn't mean we don't do it.
Phil Pavlo is the Republican senator from St. Clair County. He serves as chairman of the Senate Education Committee. Lots to keep our eyes on. Thanks for your help understanding this, Senator Pavlo.
Well, it's good to chat with you this morning, and enjoyable weekend to you and your listeners.